Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga. It is February the 17th, also known as President's Day. And in the Hebraic calendar, we're in Shabbat, the month of Shabbat, which 5785. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in fellowship, to come together as your body, to seek your heart, to seek your word, to be refreshed and strengthened in the presence of one another. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have good in store for us. You have wisdom in store for us. You have a breakthrough in the areas that we carry. We ask you to put away the cares of the day, put away the frustrations and the challenges of the time we've done before we've come to this call, and we just come to your feet. We seek your heart. We submit ourselves to you, to one another, and we ask you, Lord, to impart to us the word from your word that encourages us, refreshes us, and strengthens us for the journey ahead. And we give you all praise and glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. I've asked to blow the shofar here, so out of Wyoming, we invite you to blow the shofar. Oh, let me unmute you, Sally. Sorry about that. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The shofar literally opens the airwaves. I can tell you many stories of spiritual blockage. When I blew the shofar, things opened up.
Amen. So shout a shout of praise unto the Lord. Alleluia. God reigns. Reigns in the heavens, reigns in the earth, reigns in our affairs. Thank you, Sally. Well, we have been dealing with quite a bit of strife in the Republic, and I want us to go to Genesis and see where how Abraham, or Abram at the time, handled strife. So if you got your Bible open, I want you to turn to Genesis 13. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the garden of the Lord, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. I'm going to pause there in the story. The former chaplain for the Republic, Wade Butler, sent out a request this week. Some of you may have participated in it, some of you may have seen it, some of you may not. I want to read you his words as he introduces a message from the prophetess Lana Vassar. And he says this: "Members of the Republic, the following letter from Lana Vassar is as timely as you can get. I have said many times, we the people and those who pray within the people are contending for the soul of the nation. without reading or listening to me speak those words, Grant Abraham, a leading conservative in Canada, going against Trudeau, used the same words for the lead-in of his book, Fighting for the Soul of Canada. We are at a crossroads for the very soul of the United States. The battle is fierce, with new enemy soldiers joining the battle every day, both in the physical and spiritual realms. Do not take me wrong. Not everyone who is new is an enemy. Not everyone who is old, an old member, is a friend. We do not need to start a witch hunt, so listen to what is being said and seek the Lord and His kingdom for answers. Is this an overthrow from the deep state to keep Trump from using the Republic or to cause it to fail? Is it meant to be an example of his plans and the enemy is infiltrating and undermining his agenda? Or is it a takedown by Freemasonry by planting discord at every level? Their standard MO is deception and manipulation. Their purpose is to destroy Christian principles and roots. Have we failed by not seeing their plans, or are we on a plateau looking at a world at war when we are called to battle but are afraid to join the fight? I can say that the spiritual warfare in the heavenlies is the most severe I have ever experienced. I asked Holy Spirit what is going on around us, and He replied, "Many of my sons and daughters would die from fright if they saw what was taking place around them." What a powerful word, die from fright? Wow, is the Republic really that important? The answer is yes, it is. The powers that were in charge would not have taken the steps to destroy Tim and the organization 15 years ago if it were not. The truth is out there if we are willing to make the effort. We must deal with the spiritual battle before we engage any further with the physical. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. The angels of the Lord are more than equipped to bring down any foe internally or externally that we may face. I'm calling for a 3 days of fasting and serious prayer before you jump to conclusions and condemn anyone within the Republic, and at the same time ask for wisdom as to who the new members are around you are. It appears that discord is being sown amongst the body. Where does it come from? What is the true source of all of the grief that is before us today? We intend to take to the courts of heaven, then to the courts of man. Well, I'm going to read that again. We intend to take it to the courts of heaven, then to the courts of man. Please take a few minutes to read this powerful word from Lana Vassar about exposure and what the Lord is going to do. From Lana Vassar Ministries, recently I heard the Lord say, "Arise, I am pulling back the curtain. I am revealing what you have really been dealing with." As I leaned into the Lord and listened to His heart, I heard, "My people, arise, arise, arise. I say unto you that there are many in this hour who have been dealing with significant opposition against your assignment. I say unto you that there are many who have labeled opposition of the enemy as natural realm circumstances, and it has kept you under false burdens within your assignment. I say unto you that I am pulling back the curtain. I am revealing what you have been facing is an onslaught of the enemy. For many of you have been crying out to me, 'Lord, what is wrong with me? What have I done?' And many of you have lost your rest and your peace because you are living in anxiety, wondering what you have done wrong. You were faithfully serving me in your assignments, and suddenly things shifted and began to escalate, leaving you feeling suffocated and contained. My people, listen to me. Many of you have been in the greatest battle you have faced over the assignments I have given you and the new assignments that are upon you. You have not even realized the level of opposition and battle that you have been in. As the enemy has been attempting to keep you in a place of not recognizing his schemes and attempting to convince you that which you are facing and enduring is natural realm and is your fault. I say to those of you who have been in this place, arise, arise. I am removing the veil that the enemy has attempted to put before your eyes to hinder you from seeing that what has been truly going on. I am bringing you into a new realm of clarity, and now you shall see clearer than you have seen. You have seen what you have been dealing with. For I say unto you that I am bringing you into a new realm of discernment within your assignment. I am bringing you deeper into a place of divine wisdom and understanding within the assignments that I have given you. For the enemy has come hard against you in this hour, and he has come harder than ever to keep you distracted, to steal your focus, and to attempt to keep you from moving into another level of authority within your assignment. I say unto you that much of what the enemy has been after in this hour is your heart and your authority. The enemy has come with such condemnation in this hour against many of you with his taunting lies, and there has been great onslaught of the enemy coming against many of you to contain you within your assignment. Many of you have lost your ability to dream with me within your assignment and to thrive within the assignments that I have given you and who you are, created to be in me and do what I have created you to do and to thrive. But I say unto you that as I am pulling back the curtain, I am exposing and revealing schemes of the enemy. You are moving into a new level of authority in me within your assignment as you begin to see what has really been happening behind the scenes. I say unto you, watch the chains of containment break off by the power of my spirit within your assignments. Watch the chain of containment shatter as I bring you into a new slipstream of my spirit and my grace within your assignment. Where many of you have felt like you have been barely surviving to continue in what I have called you to do, I am bringing you into a deeper place of dependence upon me within your assignment and the strength that shall come to you by my spirit in the exposing of what the enemy has been doing. You are coming into a new level of empowerment. There is a roar that will continue to arise within you, a roar of no toleration of the enemy's schemes, an increase of the roar of faith, an increase of the roar of my authority within you to not only evict the nonsense and the noise of the enemy from your land, but see my spirit bring forth an acceleration of fruitfulness of my plans and purposes within the lands of your assignments. I say unto you, my people, there are many of you that need to arise in this hour and take your authority back within your assignment. There are many of you that need to arise in this hour and step back into the victory that is yours in me within your assignment. For the enemy has worked so hard to attempt to convince you that all you have faced has been natural realm circumstance, and has for many convinced you that what you are dealing with is not by his hand. But now, as I reveal what has been going on behind the scenes and under the surface, and for many, there is about to be a once and for all shift. For as I reveal what the enemy has been doing and the tactics he has been using to keep you contained, to keep you from moving in your authority, moving in faith, and for many, being the leader that they are called to be, the very exposure and revelation of his tactics is ending these cycles of his ongoing attacks to keep you hindered, contained, and distracted. For I say unto you that I have a greater increase of insight of my plans and purposes for many of you within your assignment in this hour. There is increase within your assignment that I am bringing to you, and the heavy cloud of confusion, opposition, and for many, despondency that has been upon you has been to keep you from this place of increased insight. For I say unto you, be expectant in this hour for this increased insight. Where there has been significant confusion, that is not of me. And the invitation before you is one of entering into a new level of wisdom within your assignment in this hour to move with me in all that I have planned. The enemy has attempted to keep you contained, and I say unto you that there is expansion and increase in my ways, in new ways that are before you that he is attempting to keep you from. So arise and get loud. Declare my word, not with your own strength or loud voice, but get loud in your faith. Arise in faith and stand upon my word. There is no time, this is not a time to be timid. Arise in boldness and declare my word, knowing the power of my word. I say unto you, as I am pulling back the curtain and revealing what has been happening under the surface and behind the scenes where the enemy has been at play, lean into the roar of my spirit that is birthing the roar of no toleration of his schemes and plans, and allow my spirit to awaken you to a greater authority. My people, in this hour, I say unto you, get the word overwhelm out of your vocabulary. For I say unto you, many have aligned their words with overwhelm that has opened the door to the heaviness and containment of the enemy in many ways in their hearts, minds, and lives. My people, watch what you say, what you are focusing on, and look to me. I am bringing you into a place of such deeper dependence upon me and slipstream of my grace where overwhelm will not be part of your vocabulary and feeling like you are living in a constant state of overwhelm. As you continue to behold me and see more and more of who I am. Pastor Wade concludes with, I agree that doors have been opened even to the point of the land we live on. Compromises come in many ways and nearly always leads to destruction. We talk about the Republic being stood up. It's time we stood up. The battle is now at your door. Blessings, Wade Butler.
Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Let us run the race, looking unto Jesus. To Jesus, who for the joy set before him, how Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, he now sits at the right hand of God. Keep looking unto Jesus, keep looking unto Jesus. Jesus, let us run the unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, let us run the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are surrounded by a God of witness.
You'll notice in the scripture I began with out of Genesis 13 that there was strife in the camp between Abram and Lot. And Abraham and Lot did not buy into the strife. They took action to remove the strife. But as the story goes on, it did not stop the fact that there would be a battle and that there wasn't an enemy to contend with. But seeing as we, as the body, are dealing with strife, and that's a personal choice and a personal discipline and a personal weakness that we have to watch for, I want to turn to scripture, several scriptures actually, to let you know what the Word of God says about strife. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice." Jealousy and selfish ambition. Are we carrying jealousy and selfish ambition in our volunteer positions that we have in the Republic? Proverbs 17:14 says, "To start a quarrel is to release a flood, so abandon the dispute before it breaks out." Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another." Strife is the door to every form of evil. So if we entertain strife, we are entertaining the ways of the enemy. We're in a spiritual battle. We are absolutely in a spiritual battle. You know, Pastor Wade said that he had not seen anything so fierce. What I see is we have spiritual warfare going on and a spiritual battle going on, and we have members of the body of Christ thinking it's physical and trying to use physical reasoning to deal with this spiritual battle. And I see the lines being crossed of spiritual and physical lines, and perhaps this is the season we're in, perhaps that's the unleashing of the pit of hell that is crossing over these lines. But, you know, I see very clearly we have to be discerning in our relationships with folks to make sure that if we're seeing this area of contention and strife, we need to be careful to weigh in and be sure that we're not trying to solve something physically, which is a spiritual battle. It's not to say there isn't a physical battle, because there certainly is. Philippians 2:14-16 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine as lights in the world, as you hold forth the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." Paul's emphasizing the importance of maintaining a positive attitude in our actions. By avoiding grumbling and arguing, we reflect God's purity and the love to the world around us. And that is what the world is thirsting for. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger calms a dispute." Romans 12:18, "If it is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone." I have a friend of mine, goes back to when I was a lot younger, and he said he learned a discipline. He says, "I ask myself this question. I say, in 5 years' time, will it make any difference?" And he would find if it didn't make any difference, he would bite his tongue and he would not pursue trying to win an argument. Romans 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Proverbs 20:30, "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." Ephesians 4:31-32, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Just as in Christ God forgave you. And I'll finish with a couple more. Proverbs 26:21 says, "As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife." Finally, out of 1 Peter 3:9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So I want to read something that some of you may have already heard, may not have heard, but I want to read it before we go back to Genesis and see what happened between Abram and Lot and the battle that they contended with. This is a letter of resignation. "This notice stands as my formal letter of resignation from the Office of Attorney General of the Republic and all of the duties and assignments." This is from former President James Timothy Turner. "This is not an easy decision for me, and I leave with no malice or ill will toward anyone. There are three reasons for my departure, and I will explain my reasons. My decision is final, and I will not change my mind. Reason one, I'm bombarded daily with constant complaints and bickering between members in the Republic. I love and care about those who have these issues and do my best to resolve them when possible. The stress of constantly attempting to put out fires has taken a negative toll on my health. If I do not resolve this issue, my health will soon deteriorate to the point of disability. Reason two, the Republic was originated in love, concern, respect, and tolerance for others. We've gotten off course and need to correct. I no longer recognize or understand the methods that are being used to build the Republic. It appears that some in leadership are intentionally preventing timely growth of membership. I have spoken to the leadership many times about this issue, to no avail. If the leadership does not correct this and return to that spirit of love, respect, and tolerance for others, you will certainly fail. My prayer is that you will take action now and restore the original intent of the movement." And his third reason, "I have said hundreds of times that the Republic is only a stepping stone towards establishing the kingdom of God on earth. It is our Father's will to set all men at liberty worldwide. I am compelled to move forward now to prepare the next step that will be of great benefit to those of you who have and continue to remain faithful to building the Republic. God is going to reestablish His Republic in America, and I hope that I have played at least a small part in making that happen. It is time for me to move on. I am very proud of each and every one who has stood up in the face of adversity and held strong to re-inhabit the offices of this Republic. The Father will reward you accordingly. I encourage you to continue the work, and in the near future you will be blessed abundantly. I wish you all God's greatest blessing and will always consider you my family. I love you all. God bless. Sincerely, James Timothy Turner. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, and I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree in Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. His cousin, his Lot, was then captive. He was held captive by the king of Shinar. I'm going to leave some of that, all of the backwards and forwards of that, and talk about what happened. So now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. If you remember, that's where Lot went. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose that land. That's before the Lord judged it. Then they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother had been taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants, who were born in his own house, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheveh, that is, the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Check out what happens next. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed them and said, blessed be Abram of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. In the middle of a battle, he rescues his brother, or his cousin. He chose not to engage in strife. God promised him land as far as he could see. He then goes to rescue his kin who had been captive, and he then meets with the king of Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And it's like this is the first communion that we see, and the communion is he gives the tithe, something that was never mentioned until that time in Scripture. So there's a covenant God creates with Abram. There's a time of he wins the battle. He gives a tenth of his belongings to the king of Salem, and they have communion together. I say all this in a roundabout way, and I hope it's a very direct way, for us to recognize that we are sons and daughters of the promise of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that the forces of evil can do to stand in the way of God's promise to us. We have to choose where we participate, where we cooperate, where we lend our time and our attention, where we choose to battle. Are we battling on the real battlefield, which is the battle of good and evil? Are we battling in the field of our ego and our pride and our sense of making it right in our own eyes, in our own time? God has a timing. That timing is not ours, but it's clearly he's encouraging us to step up our game in this battle, to step up our ability to recognize the snares of the devil and the attempts that he have to thwart us from our purposes. So I just wanted to offer that as a set the tone for our prayers and our intercession this evening. For those of you who are engaged in this battle, for those of you who are tempted to lay blame, I just encourage you to take a biblical perspective of how to deal with strife, how to deal with anger, how to deal with bitterness, how to deal with malice, how to deal with our judgment of others. It's not surprising to me that we are facing opposition. We are standing up to forces that are now being beautifully exposed in Washington City with the work of President Trump and his team of folks, clearly with Doge. And they are not happy. So all the death and hell is kicking and screaming that their little gig is up. We just have to be careful not to allow it to hook us into skirmishes that are on our own. So that being my introductory thoughts, I would like to now pass the call over to my brother Mark Tomaszewski. I asked him to prepare some thoughts for this evening. So, brother, you have the floor.
Robert. Thank you very much, Robert. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for those words, and I appreciate all the scripture that you shared with us. And it just resonates with me. What you gave us, those scriptures, is our ammunition for our spiritual battle. We must know what our weapons are and how to deploy our weapons. And when I spent some time praying this afternoon about this, I said, Lord, what do we need to focus on? What do we need to hear? And I just felt like he was saying, I've already given you my words. Learn how to deploy my words. There's spiritual battle going on all the time. We must recognize them and be willing to resist and fight the devil. So I just kind of as a game for myself, I said, all right, well, what are my top scriptures for warfare? When I know I'm in a battle, how do I fight? I don't fight in the flesh. If I know that I take some sort of attack to my body or my finances or relationships or anything like that, I step back, I pause, I pray before I proceed. And I have hidden the Word of God deep in my heart. And so Scripture comes to mind, and when life squeezes you, what comes out of you is important. And if you've hid the Word of God deep inside of you, when life squeezes you through attacks of the enemy or just people that don't understand and they attack you, what comes out is basically what you put in. And if we put in the Word of God, we will be able to say God is victorious. And so I wrote down 20 scriptures and what they mean to me when it comes to resisting the devil. I will not be defeated by the devil. And I think that as a believer, as a child of God, God says that you are to resist the devil. So I'm going to, well, there's many reasons why people don't fight the devil, but we're supposed to. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But I just want to share how I go about it, because learning this has allowed my wife and I to have a lot of victory, and God gets the glory in John 15:7. Yeah, where when we are abiding the vine in his words, when we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, we will ask what you will. And herein is our Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I want to be a fruit bearer. I want God to be glorified in my life. So I want to share that that is the weapons that I hide in my heart. And so I have just a few here that I want to share that I think go along with what you're sharing, Robert, is that we must prepare ourselves for the battle. So I'm going to give a few scriptures here, and we'll see how far the Holy Spirit brings me. So number one, we are in a battle, which means that there is an enemy that needs to be defeated wherever we meet him. John 10:10. Number two, you are supposed to keep yourself so that the devil cannot touch you. Keep yourself so that the devil cannot touch you. That's from 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Number three, you are supposed to exercise yourself unto godliness so that you can resist old wives' tales and fables. That's from 1 Timothy 4:7. 1 Timothy 4:7. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Number four, you are to war a good warfare and fight the good fight of faith. This comes from 1 Timothy 1:18 and 1 Timothy 6:12. Number five, I've already mentioned it, you are to actively resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Number six, you have been empowered with Jesus' power to do his works. This is from Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Number seven, and I'll do three more here. Number seven, you have been given power, love, and a sound mind to overcome the devil and his attempt to overcome you with fear. That's from 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Let's see, number eight, you are supposed to stand strong in the Lord. This is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 16. Number nine, you are supposed to pray against the powers of darkness. That's from Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18. And number 10, and we'll stop here, you are not supposed to conform to this world and its ways, but you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove God's will on earth. That is from Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. And I'm certain there are other scriptures that will prove this point, but what the point to me is, we are not supposed to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's Ephesians 5:17. We are to save the lost, heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, and kick the devil's butt. Stop being a punching bag for the devil and quit blaming it on your circumstances. Stand up and fight back and take back what the devil has stolen from you. Do not be ignorant of his devices. That is 2 Corinthians 2:11. So these are the kind of things that I want to encourage people that I talk to and in doing this type of ministry of people that are walking in defeat. And hey, my wife and I have had many defeat too, and we need other brothers and sisters to encourage us with the word, because the word is living. It is sharper than a double-edged sword, and it helps us get aligned with what God says. In spite of what you see with your physical eyes, see my word, my thoughts, and see the victory that I have for you. My desire for you is to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And praise God, He is the Father of all good gifts. There is no evil in Him. And so anytime we recognize that and have eyes to see and discern evil, infiltration, strife, like you mentioned, Robert, strife, and where's that one scripture? Oh, there was another one. I know what it was. It was Titus. That's one that the Lord showed me. Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonition. I thought, whoa, thank you, Lord. That's pretty hard, harsh words. But when we have the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, we will have discernment when to pause, pray, and proceed. Because we know that in this world, you will have trials, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's what the Lord said. So I want to encourage everyone tonight that the Word of God is your weapon. If you're feeling this sense of being overwhelmed by the different things we see going on in the world, or infiltration, or the different things that are happening with people, encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what King David did in Psalms, I think it was, when he came back from camp and his wives and all of his goods were gone. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. We can do the same thing, because he has given us his word. And I just want to offer anybody that this is what I love to share with people. It doesn't matter your circumstances. We can find this, the word of God, to encourage us, encourage one another, and to have victory over the darkness. So, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and say, Lord, teach us your word. Show us the way. I pray for the people that are here that may be going through something, whether it's the fear that I talked about, or worry, or physical attacks on their body, or finances, or just vision for their life or purpose. Lord, your word encourages us. I pray that every person that turns to you, that you would open up your word. I pray that you would give them eyes to see, and I pray that their eyes of understanding would be opened in Christ Jesus to know what is the depth of your love for them and what is your word for them in that moment. Father, because we all, when we turn to you, we can be encouraged. That's what your word says. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being a blessing and answering our prayers right here, now, tonight. I just speak a blessing over everyone as they turn to you, Lord, that you will open their eyes to the word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah, the area that I think that we sometimes can get tripped up in is where's the battle? Is the battle in when our emotions are stirred up about something? We get caught in the discord and the strife of varying points of view? Or is the battle, as you're saying here, looking at resisting the devil and looking at being clear in your spirit to know where the attack's coming from, and then to take a measured offensive against it. And I think what the devil, we have to be careful of, is the devil will try to sow confusion. And I think we're in that space right now where we have to be very vigilant to guard against mistaking strife for the enemy, and thinking that whatever the strife is about, that that's where the enemy is, rather than stepping back, as you're saying. And, you know, we spoke about it last week, and you can comment on this yourself. We spoke about that we're fighting from a place of a finished work. We're fighting from a position. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's finished the work, and he's waiting for the earth to be under his foot as a footstool. And that's our job. Our part in here is to cooperate with finishing that work. What's your you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And that goes back to what you have said many times and what I said earlier, pause, pray, proceed. Sometimes we have to wait. But if we have to wait for the discernment of the Holy Spirit, and when I'm in this situation where there's maybe confusion, I'm not sure what to do, I do nothing. I'm going to go pray in tongues. I'm going to go pray in the Spirit. I'm going to ask the Lord for an interpretation. I'm going to just wait. The best thing we can do is just ask, Lord, what's going on here? Is this my battle or is this someone else's? Do I need to engage or do I need to walk away? And I think that's what I hear you saying.
It is. So I want us to take a minute, and I want us to, you know, we're looking at this whole thing about the battle in the flesh, the good and the evil, the where we put our thoughts. And the bottom line for all of us is the power of Jesus' name, the power of Yeshua HaMashiach, the power of the Word of God speaking the name of Jesus dispels all of this. I mean, just... to me, it's just keep it simple. Keep your heart focused on Jesus and allow him to teach you in this daily battle. So we're going to go to Charity Gale, and I want to just have us ponder that here before we go to the next section. And I will say, for those of you who are new on the call, we take communion together. And so if you would like to prepare some bread or cracker and some juice or some wine, I'm going to ask Bruce Dietler to lead us in that a little later here in a call.
darkness over every enemy. In Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
When I was a kid, we heard the saying, a family that prays together stays together. And I'm one of a large family. There's nine of us, nine kids, 11 of us all together if you count mom and dad. And you can bet that there was a lot of different points of view in our family, a lot of scrapping, a lot of argumentation. You know, we each have our place in the reconciliation and in the knitting together of what God creates in a family. And so I was a piano player. So I would always go to music. And so in the midst of the roar of yelling and screaming or whatever else was going on, I would play the piano. And, you know, my mom often said to me, thank you, because your music would go out like, you know, waves of peace into the family. But more importantly than that, we prayed together. Now, you know, I admit I'm now a recovering Catholic, but I was raised a Catholic. And every night till I was probably about 14, we would all gather in the living room in the evening. We'd get on our knees, and together as a family, we would pray the rosary faithfully, 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 day in, day out, till I was 14. We then moved to another country, and so that kind of went by the wayside. But I really believe that was a bond of prayer that held our family together. And so in the same way, we are a family, and prayer and music and praise bonds us together. Mark Binder, what's God put on your heart, brother? Let's see, I might have to unmute you, so hold on just a second. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I have a few scriptures to add to what you've already put out and what Mr. Tomaszewski's already put out. So here goes. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And then Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then they got two more. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the last one is James 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I also have a prayer, and this was actually the prayer that Dutch Sheets did today and is given 15 at the end.
Oh,
I think it's very appropriate. So, Father, your plan for America was very clear, to be a nation evangelist to the world. You gave us the liberty and prosperity to make this possible. Like Israel, we failed you, even rebelled from you many times. But thankfully, your mercy is greater than our sin. You redeem and restore. Just as you did many times with Israel, you are restoring America back to you and to this purpose. We will experience a revival that not only saves us, but also restores passion for our destiny. Evangelists will go forth from America's shores by the thousands, and evangelism will go forth through the airwaves. Your kingdom will come, your will be done. Let your hammer fall where needed, your fire burn what needs to be burned, and the rain of Holy Spirit fall on your land. Even now we hear the sound of abundant rain. May your dreams of earth's greatest harvest come true, and may we be a part of this. We pray all this in the mighty name of Yeshua. And that's all I have. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Mark, what was your third scripture before you did James 1?
Oh, boy. Okay. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. I already closed the page.
Oh, did you?
That
sorry.
I think that was the Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Texas.
Do you want to say any more about that? Because that's such a wise counsel.
Well, yeah, when you try to work in harmony with those surrounding you, it kind of takes away their fire at you a little bit. It might even make them a bit, I don't know, confuse them a little bit when you give kindness for evil or transgression. And I think it takes them back a little bit. That's what it means to me anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think also it allows God to work in them to soften their heart, allows there to be, you're not clashing at the ego level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. Proverbs 16:7. I'll put that one on my mirror this week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. John Underwood, what's God got on your heart, brother? Let's see. You're
hey,
unmuted.
John.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Hi. So, hello, everyone. And, I'm not sure what the Lord has, but let's see if we can pray and see if the Lord has something. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to have joy in the midst of everything that's going on. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in you now and give you praise for how much you love us and how much you care for us and how you are overcoming the wicked one and bringing down the wicked and giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just magnify your name this evening and pray that you'll let the leaves of the tree of life in heaven that are for the healing of the nations, let them be applied, let the nations be healed, I say in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. So we give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, John, you took me to the calendar because there's a beautiful tree of life on page 7 of the prayer calendar this month. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it. You'll have to take a look.
Yeah, it's on page 6 and 7, and so with that, I will read what it says here. Each month of the Jewish year has a corresponding color, a letter in a Hebrew alphabet, a zodiac sign, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, a sense and a controlling organ, limb of the body. I can't pronounce all these words, but Tu Bivshat, the 15th day of the 11th month, alludes to the secret of God's essential name, Havaya. The value of the first two letters of Havaya, which represents the higher concealed level of unification, is 15. Its last two letters, He, which represent the lower, reveal level of unification equal to 11. Indeed, as explained elsewhere, the full secret of Havaya is the secret of the tree of life, the tree of the month of Shevet. In an ascension unto the Lord, he said to me, there is something you wanted to see. Suddenly I was taken before a tree in the garden. There was no other tree in all of the forest as large and beautiful as the tree of life. Its fruit was the size of Nerf footballs and dripped with an oil that looked like honey. There was like a force field or dome over the tree, and on four corners, representing north, south, east, and west, massive angels with impressive swords stood at attention. I immediately asked Yeshua, why are the angels guarding the tree? Nothing can enter heaven or touch it or take its fruit. The Lord responded, the angels would be like an honor guard on earth. It is considered an honor for them to serve. How long does each one stay on guard? I asked. only a day here, 1,000 years on earth. We were about 50 yards from the tree, which had a path all the way around its perimeter. There were beautiful paths leading to the tree from all directions. Those in heaven and those in the spirit were in those paths, being led by angels, teaching them the wonders of heaven. So thank you, John. Thanks for bringing that to my awareness. That's right on the calendar this month. And for any of you, that's good. And for any of you who are new, we have a Hebraic calendar that we follow in the cycles. If you want to learn some of the prophetic teachings, some of the background of the Hebraic calendar, you can go to the Republic website, republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org. You can tab over to the, oh, what's the tab, Mark? It's a second to last.
Divine Providence.
Divine Providence.
That's it. Divine Providence. Thank you. And click on that. And the first click, you will scroll down past my picture and you'll see a little calendar icon. If you click on the calendar icon, there is calendars for the last 5 years. So you can right-click on the top one, which is this month, Shavuot, and download it. It's a little easy reading. It's about 130 pages. It's truly a labor of love. Each month, Dr. Wade Butler puts it together, prays about it, and Bruce helps him to edit it and compile it. And so it's worth a read. It helps you. At least it's helped me. I hope it helps you and is a blessing to you. Not only do you get the sense of what the prophets are saying, but you also get a sense of what God's feasts and festivals are. We've come pretty far away from that in our Western culture. And I think it's helpful to be mindful of it. I don't think we get lost in it, but it's helpful just to recognize what God's seasons and cycles are. So, Mr. Bruce Dietler, I welcome you to the table here to lead us in Holy Communion. So let me see if I need to unmute you. Oop, where'd you go? There you are. You have the floor, brother.
Well, thank you, Brother Robert. Very good call. I appreciate the spirit. In sharing on the communion, what comes to mind is I don't need to read all the scriptures. You all are familiar with the scriptures, but just set your hearts into tune with what was on the Lord's heart the night of the communion with his followers in the upper room. Yeshua knew what was about to befall him, that his end was near on this earthly walk, and this was his last time together with his fellows that he had been with for the years. They were very, very dear to his heart, and he wished to share his heart with them, that they might be one with him, that he would be one with them. And so during the course of the meal, then he shared the words that are recorded in the scriptures about taking the bread and taking the wine. In taking the bread, this is a remembrance to us of his body, which was to be broken and which now has been broken for our healing. He took our sicknesses, he carried our diseases, and with his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, we are healed. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you gave your life for us. You came for a purpose. You had a vision. You had a victory to win. And that victory and that purpose is now ours, Father, which was to bring forth your glory upon this earth as Yeshua did. So in coming together tonight as we take this communion, let us remember the sacrifice of Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior, that his body was broken for us, for the victory that he brought to us. So would you partake of the bread at this time? After sharing the bread, He lifted the cup and shared the cup and shared the words that this cup is the blood of my body. This is the New Testament, the blood that is poured out for you, shed for you for the remission of sins. It's the blood, not our own works of righteousness, that has brought us redemption, remission of our sins. The word says that the Lord remembers them no more. All of our failings, past failings in this life, regardless of what they were, how far back they were, they are washed away through the power of the blood of Yeshua, Jesus. The power of that blood also covers us daily. We ask the Lord, Father, just cover me today. Wash my heart, wash my mind, that I might walk pleasing in your sight. I thank you for the power of the blood. I thank you, Lord, that the power of the blood puts the devil under our feet. The devil is a defeated foe. As Tim Sheets says, he is the forever loser. He is already lost, and through Yeshua's victory, through his sacrifice, we have already won every battle. We are seated in heavenly realms in Yeshua, in Christ Jesus, far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that can be named. And as Linda and I take communion each morning, we come to this point talking about the blood, and the devil is under our feet, and then we literally stomp up and down. There she goes again. Stomp up and down on the head of the devil, every wicked spirit, every foul spirit, every curse causeless that is spoken against us. We crush its power in the name and by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And Father, we thank you for the fullness of the victory that you won for us. Father God, your Son Yeshua is now seated in heavenly realms at your right hand, and we are seated with him in the power of communion, that we are one with him, he is one with us, and we are in you. So, Father, we rejoice in the opportunity to come together, to share the cup, to share the wine, the juice, to share the bread, to share in the fullness of the victory that Yeshua won for us. So, Father, we partake of the juice now. We give you the glory, the praise, now and forever, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to play a bell, and then I'll let you have your closing thoughts, Bruce.
Closing thoughts. Much, much, much is going on in the world today, in this nation today, cleaning up government, overturning the tables of the money changers, literally, reclaiming that which the devil has tried to steal from his people, restoring it back to the people. We don't know what all the plans and intents of our President Trump are fully, but we know that he's desiring to give this nation back to the people, and that's the heart of the Lord as well. And I thank you, Father God, that we can choose to take it back. And Father, we can choose to walk in the love that you have loved us. Hallelujah. That's how men will know that we are your disciples, by the love that they see manifested through us. I thank you, Father God, that that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as believers in Yeshua, that Holy Ghost is within. Father God, that Holy Ghost brings us through every battle into victory. That Holy Ghost, Father God, gives us wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, that we can walk in the midst of the storm in peace, and we can declare peace, be still to every storm going on around us. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters on this call, for those you are raising up, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you yet desire to do in and through each precious life on this call, each precious life in your republic. And we give you the glory and the praise for it all. I thank you, Father, for the fullness of the victory that is ours in Yeshua. And we rejoice in your faithfulness. We rejoice in the faithfulness of your word. We rejoice in the fact that your ministering angels hearken unto the voice of your word. And as we speak your word, they go forth to do the work, and we win. So we give you the glory and the praise this night, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen. Greet me happy, brother. That's awesome. All right, I am going to unmute the line. If anyone has a prayer they'd like to lift up, please just state your name and prayer.
Hello, it's Robin again from Alabama.
Good evening, Robin.
Hi, as soon as you started playing the bell, my cat came running and jumped on my lap. Anyway, two prayer requests. One is for Dr. Robert Young. He's a naturopath who has been arrested again for the third time for helping people get well with his pH level books to help put people back in alkaline so that different diseases and disorders can be reversed. He's got court on March 28th. I believe it's going to be in San Francisco in California. So I'd like to say a prayer for him because he did train here in Birmingham at the Clayton School. And so that's a connection. I've had naturopaths work with me and take care of me in the past. The second one is to give you an update on Ricky Palmer from last week. He did do better. His first biopsy came back fine. However, 2 days later, he did end up with a viral and bacterial infection in his brain after they did the first biopsy. And he's still on his ventilator. They are going to remove the ventilator, but they said they're going to put in a trach. He still has not woken up. They've been trying to wake him up for the last week, and they said that he could and probably will pass away from that. So I am going to be with his wife. They were going to do it tomorrow, and now it's been postponed to Wednesday. So if we can lift both of these men up in prayer, I sure would appreciate it. The main thing is for both of them, our prayers for them today, that God gives them both peace, hope, and understanding, and that he equips them as well as their families with everything that they need to face whatever lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. Amen. Is someone else on the call like to raise up Dr. Young and Ricky Palmer? Well, if no one else will, I will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dr. Robert Young. We thank you for his courage, his tenacity, his boldness to speak out in the area of natural medicine. We speak favor over his life at his hearing on March 28th in San Francisco. We break off the tentacles of the AMA and the board of whatever the heck they are that would try to throttle the knowledge of natural remedies to your people. We call for it to be exposed. We thank you, Lord, that the work of RFK will come to bear in this trial, and that that he will be freed. Dr. Robert Young will be freed from these allegations. We ask you this in Jesus' name. We declare it so. And Lord, we just pray for Ricky Palmer and his wife. We just lift him up to you, Lord. We speak to this viral bacteria infection in his brain, and we say, viral infection, you go. We pray for peace over him and his wife. Lord, if this is his time that you're calling him, then we speak that your angels go to escort him to heaven, that it be a smooth transition. And Lord, we just thank you that Robin has been so faithful with her friend in praying for him, in caring for his health. And we just pray a comfort over the entire matter of his life. And we give you him in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Robin. Anyone else?
Yes.
Matthew, go ahead.
Matthew, go ahead. Okay. I had a word when we were going through that for each one of us that I was hearing in my spirit and stuff. And anyhow, it was like we have a wonderful tool that helps either in our bedroom or in the bathroom. It's a wonderful and beautiful tool, and can also see into the ugly and as well as the good. And there is sometimes calls us to reorganize and metanoia and to come through, and so that we can enter into his newness. And the word I was getting was the mirror.
Matthew, what's the word you're getting?
The mirror.
I'm not here. I'm not.
Described. Oh,
can
happened?
You spell it? Can you spell it?
MIRROR.
Oh, mirror. Okay. Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what. Did you hear what I described?
I'm trying to capture it in the sense of a prophetic word about mirror. How you're saying it? How?
Well, I know for me, that's how kind of he has me look at myself and just how at the fact that when I've done my sin and stuff and not in right alignment, he tells me to look at myself into the mirror, and sometimes you can go about that, and I think that's a metaphor to the fact that it's a metaphor for like the looking or like when you're preaching to yourself, you know. Sometimes you have to preach to yourself to get your thought process and to preach the word to yourself and in the atmosphere to get yourself off of what you were going, and then the Holy Spirit will come and then help you through processing deeper down and stuff.
Very good, Matthew. I see where you're going with that. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Matthew. We just release your power of your word over him as he gazes in the mirror. He beholds Jesus looking back at him. Lord, I thank you that your word to each of your sons and daughters is you love us, you forgive us. It's a finished work on the cross that you call us into deeper intimacy with yourself. So, Lord, I just thank you for Matthew. I thank you for his gentle heart. And I just pray you minister to him that he just experiences your perfection, your calling upon him, that you are pleased with him, and that you call him into deeper communion with you, that the things of the flesh fall away, and that he is more and more captivated with your goodness and your glory, and comes and follows you easily, simply, and with great joy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? We are past 8 o'clock. I'll give you a little opportunity.
This is Sally in Wyoming.
Hi, Sally in Wyoming.
I want to pray for those that are struggling with flooding. I believe it's Kentucky and Tennessee. They're having flash floods, pretty severe. And also Los Angeles are flooding right now. Lord, I just pray for your comfort, your protection, your provision for those that need a place to get on high ground. They'd have safe shelter, food, water, the things they need to survive. And just pray you'd protect any more loss of life, that you'd protect them and preserve them and bring them out safe in Yeshua's name.
Thank you, Sally. Did you say Tennessee, Kentucky, and L.A.?
Yeah, L.A. It's somewhere in the eastern. I'm not sure about North Carolina, but that region of Tennessee and Kentucky, it's flash flooding right now.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
This is Robin again. I just wanted to say how delightful Matthew is every week. And I don't know if anybody's acknowledged him or not, but he is a pure heart. You can hear it. And then it reminded me of, I think it was Michael Jackson. If you want change, look in the mirror. It starts with me. And that's what I hear from him. So keep going, young man.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you, Robin. All right. So, Alishla, can I ask you to close us in prayer?
Sorry.
I know you've had a busy day. I'm sorry if I sprung it upon you.
That's okay.
All right.
It's been a long day. That's okay. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in prayer and for pointing things out to us, like we need to be careful about what we say about each other, and need to be mindful about loving one another and being kind and compassionate to one another as we are going through these growing pains in the Republic. Heavenly Father, please watch over all of us. Please bind up the spirit of division and send it to the pit of hell where it belongs, because this Republic needs unity. This Republic needs to move forward. But we also know that this Republic does need to remain steadfast in your word and keep looking at you as the almighty leader, the almighty creator of the Republic. And we can't forget that, Father, because if we forget that, then we've lost sight of what our job is. You created this Republic. You gave us this land, America, a long time ago. And we lost our way. We're trying to find our way back, Father. I just ask you to please keep us moving forward. Bring electors together. Bring leaders together in unity and peace and harmony. Just keep peace and love in our hearts, Lord, because we know that many of us leaders are all under pressure because there is division that's slowly kind of leaking through state to state, and we're asking for you, for your, for your protection. We ask for Archangel Michael to send his warrior angels to be protecting us, to be protecting the truth, your word. And I ask for exposure of anyone who is causing division. that those people be known and be corrected by you, Lord. It doesn't have to necessarily be by us. It could be by you, Father. No better person, no better person than you, Father. So we thank you and we praise you for your glory, and we ask you to rain your Shekinah glory over all of us in this phone call and all of our leaders. Provide us your blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.
Amen.